So there are people in our community who have incredible teachings and who have passed those teachings down and who have enjoyed moose and deer and salmon and all those things. But there's a lot of people within our community who didn't have a hunter in the family, who didn't have the education, who didn't have the access to traditional food. It was the drop-in meals. It was having a welcoming space, a positive atmosphere where people could grow. And, you know, it's okay that you don't know this because I don't know it either.
Right.
So we're learning together, you know, in the whole process of support and the resources that Community Food Centers Canada has to offer. There's a prejudice around traditional meat.
Yeah.
There's some sort of stereotype where somewhere along the line something happened to our people where we felt maybe not as much pride holding those things close to us anymore, right?
Yeah.
It was, and I think part of it was like, I can afford to go get hamburger at the grocery store. I'm going to go do that instead of eating the moose meat. So those little small things, and there was a whole bunch of little things happening within, I think, all nations.
And, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and these things are happening, and like I said, I've never been aware of it. I've never been aware of these things, right? Like I said, I was never part of food security. I wasn't part of, you know, these things. So, but slowly I was learning, right?
Yeah.
And like, why? And maybe the residential schools were at that cost of either it was taken away from them or they were forced to eat incredible amounts of one thing.
Right.
And now, like, we've become this test kitchen of moose meat and eel and deer and all these things. And we're playing around with foods. We're modernizing our traditional foods into, you know, like, I don't know, moose sausage craft dinner.
Right.
You know? And it's just, like, traditional meals. We do that as well, but it's to engage children and youth and, like, oh, you know, you like craft dinner. So we'll make it healthy and we'll throw some moose meat in it, right?
Right.
And they serve moose at the school.
Yeah.
It's not, so that's encouraging, you know, and it's cost effective, obviously. There's not much cost to it. So it's offsetting, you know, food insecurity because we have access point here.
Right.
Where people are able. So there's not one person that comes through our good food bank now who doesn't take moose meat.
They ask for it.
And yeah, like, they're asking for different cuts and this and that.
Uh-huh.
And so when we were first here the first year, I would say the first 6 months, there was a huge struggle of trying to get, you know, our greens and our produce out the door and our traditional protein. So now, in retrospect, we're here 4 years later. Produce is gone instantly, and we can't keep it. And our traditional meat is, you know, like people, how should I cook this? Or people are offering meat, you know, you should try this and that. Mm. So there's a give and take in, you know, recipe making and all of these things. And it was really incredible to watch that flush out and see that process. So, you know, that's one of our huge success stories. I mean, loose skinnikins, that wasn't part of our traditional food, but in a sense, it has become part of our, you know, our culture, because that's what our ancestors would have been given for rations, you know, flour, water, salt, baking powder. So they utilize that. And, but that's something an elder might come in during a drop and meal. Hey, I'm going to make loose skin again, right?
Yeah.
Like,
what do you call it?
Loose skinnikin.
Loose skinnikin.
Yeah.
And that's what we call bannock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've called it bannock as well.
Yeah. Like, fried bread as well.
But it's not necessarily one of the healthiest aspects.
No, it's not. So we try to.
We love it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. With like molasses.
Guilty pleasure.
I know. Exactly.
But yeah, it's like one of those things. But it's like, should we be doing it? You know. Yeah. But anyway, if an elder tells me she's making loose skinnikin, I'm not going to.
No.
Say, no, you're not. There's no way I would ever do that.
Right.
But just those little things happen. Yeah. And there's like, I don't know, there's this new title floating around called, a cultural practitioner. That would be sort of like, I don't know, like a medicine woman, a medicine man, right? We don't really have access to a lot of those teachings in our community. I don't know. It's just like we can't go to anybody in Yellowgren and say, hey, can you show me how to find muskrat root? Like, I don't know anybody who would know that.
The first person I ever came in contact with was with MTI, and that was someone from Indian Island.
Yeah.
That was the first time I ever heard of someone doing
but
that.
But that's the opportunity for partnership, right?
Yeah.
That's where partnership comes in. And there are people who have this knowledge. It's just getting there. And, like, that's what I want. I want to indigenize our programming. Mm. It's so weird to say that, you know, right? I have a hard time, like,
I want to indigenize our, you know.
That's the grasp around it, right? Because, like, with colonization, that was taken away from us. So that's what you're trying to do is, like, you know, create more indigenous-based programming, which is done already, right?
Right.
So.